to send in the next one. Eugenia walked through it without another word, putting her mask back into position as she went. He wasn't concerned. He'd already mostly decided on Holly. She seemed malleable to his desires. Someone would have to really stand out in their first interview to win him over. Looking to his master list, the next interviewee should actually be Holly, which meant he could be done with his whole process in the next hour if she won him over. The door opened and closed again, with a petite woman in a burgundy dress and a cat mask standing in front of the door.
"My lord," said Holly from behind the mask.
"Hello, Holly. Thank you for coming. Please, come join me and have a seat," Alec said. Pulling off his mask, he set it to one side and gave her a genuine smile. "It's good to see you." Holly paused in front of the desk, then reached up and slowly pulled off her mask. She was as uniquely different as he remembered. In fact, she might be growing on him, because he found her rather pretty today. Adjusting her dress, she sat down gently in the chair and laid her mask down next to his.
"It's good to see you again, Count Brett," she said,
her eyes coming up to meet his and remaining. "Did you bring what I asked you for? Or at least memorized it so we can discuss it?" he asked, pulling out a blank sheet of paper.
"Yes, though I worry over why you wish to know this information. It's my family's business."
"If I marry you, it'd be my business. Though I can swear you an easy oath with no return from you," Alec said. He wanted her at ease to a degree. "I promise to keep everything you tell me in this room regarding your family in complete confidentiality. I also swear to not use the information to jeopardize, harm, gain, or in any way leverage it against your family and its business, on Leah's name. Though I make no promise not to use it against you, my dear Holly."
"Ah, thank you, Count Brett. I appreciate that. Then yes, I can share it."
"From our last discussion, I gather there are some serious problems going on?"
Holly hesitated before giving him a broken smile. "Was I that desperate?"
"A little, but that's okay. Let's go with the easy route. What would you expect from me as your husband with regard to your family? Rather than telling me everything, let's focus on the part that falls into my sphere on a Venn diagram."
"Whose diagram?" she asked.
"Never mind. Just, what would you want from me if I were your husband?"
"That is, financial assistance would be a primary one."
"Okay, that's not unexpected, considering you have no dowry. Could I ask the specifics?"
"My family invested in new technology for our fields," Holly said, her hands in her lap.
Her eyes left his and went on an adventure around the room.
"The increase was significant, but the sale of the excess was not enough to cover the debt. The interest is slowly killing my father. We're able to make payments now, but it is clear that we will be unable to ever resolve the debt. We're not paying it off faster than the interest is collecting."
Alex nodded at that. He'd seen it before a number of times in smaller businesses he'd acquired. Overpromised and under-delivered on an investment. "And what's the current payable amount?" Alex said, scratching some quick notes down onto the paper.
"I don't know. Father won't tell me."
"That's not chump change, then. And the principal of the investment?"
"The what?"
"What was the original amount borrowed?"
$80,000. I believe we paid off $40,000, but we're not making the payments in full anymore. Father defaulted and had to sign a new contract, and the interest went higher. But now there's no minimum to pay. We're falling behind further each time now. We make the current payment, but it isn't high enough to exceed the amount of interest picked up from the next cycle. Each payment due is more than the last. I know that if we go above a certain amount, the contract will change again."
"Right. And the interest?"
"That, my father, Holly trailed off, her eyes locked to the table.
Holly?
30% on the total owed, is what Father said.
That's hefty. All right, if we wed her, we'll need to make a massive outlay to drop it down to a reasonable amount, something they can make payments on. We'll need the exacts afterward to make it work. That's going to wipe out a decent chunk of our reserve. Suppose that's better than having His Highness dictate my marriage. Price of freedom and all that.
Aye, Lord Alex. I know it's excessive, but I believe... No, I know. I'm worth it, Holly said.
He'd missed the first part, but guessing from what he did catch, it really didn't matter.
And how are you worth it? Alex asked, looking up to her.
Should we push?
I already demonstrated what I'm willing to do for you. I'd be your loyal wife in all ways, but I won't do anything further until you wed me. I believe I demonstrated my willingness already, Holly said, meeting his gaze firmly with her own.
Huh. All right. That's good, though. If she has a bit of spine, that'll serve my purposes later. Anything else you'd need from me for your family?
I think Father would want to send my niece to learn from you. She is only a year younger than I, my oldest brother's daughter. She would be in line for succession of our titles.
Agreeable. Anything else? Best tell me now, because if it isn't in the contract, it won't happen.
No. Nothing else for my family.
And for yourself? Anything?
Holly shook her head. No, my Lord Britt. No limits on me. I would be bartering myself for my family. Just please don't give me to anyone else.
That I can agree to. But I may have you service other women I'm attempting to subvert to my own desires. I can promise it will not happen frequently, and I would be willing to settle on a firm monthly number if that appeased you.
I think that'd be acceptable, yes, Holly said, giving him a small smile.
Wonderful. That's all I had, Holly. Please send in the next candidate.
Yes, of course. Thank you, my Lord Britt, Holly said, bowing her head and scooping up her mask.
Before the door could even close behind Holly, Anna bounced in. It was obviously her from the impressive display of flesh and the expensive-looking dress. She was wearing an owl mask, which she promptly pulled off as she skipped over to him. Her face wore a warm and wide smile as she bounced.
Husband, she gushed, leaning over and planting a kiss on his lips. It's so good to see you. Do you think we'll be done after this?
She promptly sat down at the desk, then looked to Carla and waved a small, finely manicured hand at her.
Hello? Did he fill you up again? Did he at least clean you up this time?
Kind of, Carla said, shifting her weight from foot to foot, clearly unsure what to say.
That's good. I'll make sure he takes better care of you once I'm your mistress, Anna said, nodding her head.
Then she turned back to Alex and unleashed that blazing smile on him.
Hello, Anna, Alex said, unable to keep himself from smiling back at her. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for asking. I'm excited to be married. Mother said it was the best thing in her life. Daddy said he was glad you accepted me, though was confused that I didn't have a contract yet. He thinks I misunderstood, but I think he just doesn't understand our connection.
To be fair, Anna, I haven't said I'd marry you, Alex said amicably. She was hard to be mean to, but he didn't want to mislead her, which was a new feeling for him.
I know, but it's only a matter of time. You need someone to talk to, if only to work your thoughts out. I'm a great listener, and I don't judge, Anna said, folding her hands in front of herself.
And if I told you I had one of the other interviewees eat two out, Alex said, indicating Carla, just to get to the next stage of the interview. Carla ignored him, her face looking towards the door.
Which means she's now one of your conquests, and not your wife. There's nothing to conquer with me, because I'll give all of myself and my love to you, because I want to. I'll be your wife. Though I must say, your obsession with deals, most pointedly so with Leah, does make me wonder, especially with the way you word them. Daddy does something similar when he's trying to get the best deal from clients, and he changes his personality accordingly. It's almost as if you were Anna, Alex hissed. He'd been holding up his hands this entire time, trying in vain to shush Anna. Glancing up, he found Carla still focused on the door.
Yes, husband?
Anna asked, smiling at him. Her eyes were innocent, her demeanor unchanged. I think perhaps talking about my secrets might be a betrayal of my trust, no?
But it's only you and me, silly. Unless she doesn't know everything?
Anna asked, glancing at Carla. She does not. Saw right fucking through me. Maybe it wouldn't be so bad to have someone to confide in. A screech from the main hall cut through his thoughts. It was a shriek of pain, really. Then it was followed by shouts and screams. Putting on his mask, Alex stood up from his seat. Put your mask on, Anna, quick. Anna got her mask on and stood up, immediately moving behind him. Carla was already peeking through a gap at the door. Armed men with masks over their heads. I don't know what they're doing, but they're rounding everyone up. If I were on that crew, it'd be rob, rape, kidnap, ransom, and murder. In that order. We should escape, or move into the group of others. We really shouldn't be identified if we can avoid it, Carla said, looking back to him for direction. Alex shook his head. No, this wasn't a normal bandit group. Attacking a hall like this, in the city, means that people got bribed. Someone paid for this. Carla's right, though. Need to escape or get into the group and be anonymous.
Husband, I think it'd be best to go stay with the group. We can pretend to be a merchant husband and wife. They'll believe me, Anna said, grabbing his arm and pressing her breasts into it. Everyone always does.
Seems like a decent plan, Alex said, not really having a better idea. Escaping wasn't going to happen. He imagined the exits were all guarded. And if the guards weren't coming, they might actually be helping route traffic. The lengths coin travels. Let's hope Rudolph saw this go down and is already arranging a rescue, rather than lying dead in an alley. Chapter 12 Alex, Carla, and Anna quickly melded into the group. Carla drifted behind him, and a glance back revealed her standing directly on his heels, probably trying to watch my back. Thanks, too. Need to make sure your collar is especially pretty. Apparently their timing had been pretty on point with deciding to join the crowd. Groups of men with swords and hoods stormed into each interview room, quickly pulling all the occupants out. Then there was some shouting from the middle of the hall. Everyone was looking in one direction, but no matter how he tried, Alex couldn't understand anything. The chatter and panicked talk of so many people was simply overwhelming.
Goodness, is it a robbery? I don't think I've been robbed in a year or so, Anna said idly, patting his arm, snuggling in closer to his left side.
This is a common occurrence for you? Alex asked, somewhat surprised.
Daddy employs a lot of guards. It usually turns out badly for the robbers, but they still try. I was kidnapped once. They kept a bag over my head. I think Daddy paid them, then tracked them all down and had them killed.
Her father is not someone to bother. Someone bumped in close to his right side and practically curled into him. Glancing down, he saw Holly's mask staring up at him. Ah, I imagine she's as concerned as I am. Subtly as he could, he reached out and took her left hand in his right, then gave it a squeeze. She immediately latched onto his hand and just about broke it in her grip. Before he realized why or what was happening, everyone had seemed to filter out into rows.
"The sack!" shouted a voice from the side, heading their way.
Oh, it is a robbery. How exciting, Anna said, bouncing a little in place. I wonder if Daddy's guards will show up soon.
I certainly hope so, but I think this might even be beyond his budget. Two men were coming down the line of people towards them. One accepted items from the guests, while the other simply held the sack open. The items handed over were money, jewelry, and anything of value that could be taken quickly. Surprisingly, the man was inspecting each ring he was given, actually taking the time to look at the crests themselves. Damn, are they looking for me? While I regret losing a signet ring, I can always have another made and report the other as lost. Walter will be annoyed, though. Any item you can't get rid of, though, is a chain to weigh you down. And if I can't dump a ring that would tie me to my persona, well, I don't have anything else on me that'd identify me, thankfully. As subtly as he could, he lifted his hand with Holly's in it and pulled his signet ring off with his other. Holding it in his left hand, he moved his boot out a few inches, holding the ring in a way he hoped would allow it to roll away from him on a bounce. He let go. Tumbling through the air, it hit almost perfectly in the way he wanted. Bouncing off the stiff leather of his boot, it made a soft pop and practically jumped away from him. It clacked as it hit the wood floor and rolled rapidly away from him. He watched it vanish between the feet of the people several rows in front of him. Holly had noticed, of course, but said nothing. Unsurprising, since he'd had to move her hand. Anna was still blissfully unaware, cuddling away at his arm. When the men collecting their spoils got closer, Alex released Holly's hand, just in case. Both men turned to Anna, their hoods shifting, to which she gave them a smile and a shrug.
I'm sorry, I don't have anything on me today. My husband and I were simply attending to meet a second wife for him. Not a thing on me, she said with another shrug of her shoulders.
Both men's heads dipped down, probably looking down her dress, Alex figured, before moving on to Alex.
Cough it up then, sir, the first man said, giving him the appellation with a sneer. As my wife stated, nothing on us but our clothes, Alex said. Holding up his right hand and the lack of a signet ring, he wiggled it helplessly at the man. We left it all with the coachman.
The man in the lead looked to Alex's hand, as if to make sure there was no ring there, and then finally moved on. Holly had nothing to offer up either, though the two seemed genuinely less interested in her. In fact, they were less interested in all the women.
They really are here for me.
Holly's hand slipped into his again and gripped tightly to him.
Is she the second wife for me? Anna asked from his other side. The one who's a conquest? She seems nice, and I think she likes you. She'll be a good selection for us.
Alex just couldn't keep pace with Anna anymore. Turning his head to her, he stared at her mask, wondering if she was a genius or an idiot.
What's her name? She asked, her mask tilting to one side.
Holly.
Holly, she said, her mask still tilted.
Holly Lynn.
Lynn. I think Daddy does business with them. Or he used to. He said their coin dried up and he ended the contract, I think.
She nodded her head once, then shrugged and looked ahead again.
Huh. Might be able to use that to my advantage if... Wait, we're not marrying Anna. We're marrying Holly. Can't use that to my advantage because having one would negate the other.
Looking straight ahead, Alex tried to get his mind back on track. He needed to focus on the task at hand. Getting out of this. The men with the sacks and loot were still working their way down the line in the other direction, eventually passing behind Alex and going through the next row as well. After a time, they returned to what Alex could only assume was where the rest of their band was. He could hear muttering and two people arguing, but not much else.
Could they hurry this up a bit? Anna asked. I'd really rather spend time with you and our second wife. This is just annoying.
Is she real?
There was a commotion in the center.
Enough, a man shouted over everything else. All men step forward and come over here. And yes, we'll be going around to make sure everyone does this. You don't want to be the one guy hiding, okay?
Don't make us kill you, someone shouted.
Yep, there you go. Their intent is pretty clear at this point, I'd say. Sighing, Alex extricated his hand from Holly's and his arm from Anna, then stepped forward. Taking a moment, he looked over his shoulder as he went. Anna had scooped up Holly's arm in her own and was now crushing her breasts to it the same way she'd done to him, and Carla was tailing him. Looking ahead, Alex slipped through the rows and made his way to where the voice had been yelling. Joining the group of men milling around near the center, Alex noticed the band of armed and hooded robbers. Each wore a sword at his side and carried a crossbow. Alex didn't like the odds of attempting to resist them physically with them armed as such. That they have swords is already strange enough. Bladed weapons aren't allowed in the king's territory. Punishment by death. This isn't normal at all. Pressing into the mob a bit, Alex tried to lose himself in it. Carla joined him, moving right in front of him, practically standing on his feet. Her broad shoulders more than likely hid him from view. Need to really buy you a great collar and some lovely clothes. An armored uniform as well. Doing your job incredibly well, too. Carla still had her mace, holding it like the cane it was disguised as. There was a scuffle somewhere in the crowd of women on the other side, followed by a hollow thud. Alex peeked out around Carla to see what was going on. The two bag men were dragging an unmoving guest between them. They unceremoniously dumped him onto the ground in front of a group of men.
All right, you lot, off with the masks and make a line. And you, ladies, if you want out of this easy with your selves intact and no issues, I need you to point out Count Brett, said a man, walking out between the two groups.
That'd be the leader, then.
It isn't every day we have a count we can hold for ransom, the man said, as if needing to clarify his reason for wanting Alex.
Uh-huh. Lapdog to the king. You just want to put me in a cell until my due date expires. Looks like I need to speed up my timeline after this and just get married.
Stepping around Carla, he took up the position directly to her left. I wonder what Carla will say when they see her face and realize she's not a man. With a sigh, he pulled off his mask and put on a different one. A merchant of Yule's and husband to the lovely and simple Anna. She'd already given him an easy enough background to work with. He just needed to roll with it. There were only three bride candidates who knew him here. Anna, he was certain, wouldn't say anything. Holly, he was reasonably sure of as well. The only problem was Eugenia. Though he didn't think she'd be stupid enough to bet her oath to Leah wasn't real or firm enough to take her life and soul. Looking to his sides, Alex waited as all the men lined up in either direction.
All right, ladies, who here can spot Alex Britt, Count of Britt? The ringleader said, pacing back and forth.
Then he stopped over the unmoving man and flipped him over, pulling the mask off his face. Wincing, he drew back. The man's head was clearly cracked open. He'd not be waking up ever again. Maybe I can use that to my advantage later. Somehow stage it that the dead man is Alex? That'd probably ruffle him up, accidentally killing the target, wouldn't it?
An entire minute ticked by and the situation hadn't changed. The men stared at the masked women, and the masked women stared back at the men.
I sure to high hell hope no one recognizes me. That'd be all I need.
Fine, I'm going to pick a number of young ladies out of the crowd, and we're going to have a party with them real quick, right here in the center. Then you can all figure out if you know the count or not.
I know him, shouted a female voice.
A recognizable voice.
Eugenia's voice. The woman stepped out of the crowd and marched up towards the man who was clearly the leader.
I know Alex, Eugenia said. He's a pig of a man who propositioned me.
Turning her head, she started to scan the line of men and stopped when she saw Alex. Looking back to the brigand, she started to lift her arm, then frowned. Her head dipped down, as if she were suddenly winded. Her arm pointed halfway between the floor and Alex.
That's him there, she said through clenched teeth.
Apparently, she was very determined to point him out. Except she fell over backward.
Her head cracked into the ground, and the resounding pop was audible to everyone.
She lay still and unmoving, her arm still pointing to the dead man she'd been pointing at the entire time.
Ah, shit. We killed him? Shouted a hooded man.
What do you mean, we?
You did, shouted a second.
I didn't do shit. You're the one that whacked him with your pommel.
Oh, my God, that really is Count Britt, Alex shouted, pointing at the dead man. You killed a count.
Now everyone was riled up, the shouts and cries from both sides of the room threatening to turn into an uproar. A member of the peerage getting killed was news indeed. It would normally be met with a grinding of bones on the part of the king and his guards. Even if it was a member who had fallen out of the peerage, the royal family always met a death of one with hundreds.
"God's damn you!" shouted one of the robbers, who stabbed a second.
A third bandit stabbed the first, and a fourth jumped on the second one. Then all hell broke loose. A number of men rushed towards the bandits, apparently seeing their chance as the bandits began to fall on one another. Carla grabbed him by the hand and charged forward into the group of women, scooping up their masks as she went. She stuffed his into his hand and pulled hers down over her face. He wasn't sure where she was going, but he wasn't about to doubt her. Her dedication to him had been unquestionable so far. As they whipped through the lines of women, he suddenly found Holly and Anna in front of them. Carla corralled them like a sheepdog and guided them back towards the interview rooms. In all the confusion and people rushing back and forth, Alex wasn't really sure what was going on anymore. Almost as if they were breaking free of a fog, they slipped through the women and popped out into the open. A man with a sword stood a foot away, seemingly unsure what to do with himself. Not wasting any time, Carla released Alex's hand and jogged up to the man with the sword. She didn't hesitate, immediately clubbing him in the temple with her mace. As the man stumbled to one side, she slammed her weapon down into the top of his head. With a wet thunk, his eyes bulged out of his skull, and he hit the ground. Carla wound back her arm and smashed the back of the man's head in with a third blow. Grabbing the sword, the crossbow, and the quiver of quarrels, she pointed to the closest interview room. Alex got the hint and herded Anna and Holly there. Holly opened the door and everyone rushed in. The three of them didn't stop till they got to the back wall of the room, where Alex turned to ask Carla what the plan was. She was busily shoving a cabinet in front of the door, followed by a desk, then a chair she physically hurled atop the rest.
Don't be a bunch of ninnies. Push every goddamn thing in front of that door, she growled at them.
Alex, Holly, and Anna immediately got to work, moving every single item in the room over to the door.
Fuck them and their plans, Carla muttered, staring at the barricade. They can sit out there until Rudolph or the guard shows up. Stupid asses. If this had been my outfit, none of this shit would have happened.
No, because they're dead. Remember? And you're not her anymore. You're my too, Alex said, pitching his voice low for her ear alone. And you're damned impressive, too. Damned impressive. You did wonderfully. He reached over and patted her shoulder, making sure to lightly caress her back as he did so.
Thanks, Carla mumbled.
obviously unsure how to take that. So, what's our plan? Alex asked.
No plan. We sit and wait, just like I said. Though I think you should finish up your marriage hunt tonight.
Yeah, I would tend to agree.
Carla turned and looked to the two women. Get some sleep. You might need to take a watch at some point. No telling how long we'll be here. And you, take this.
Holding out the sword to Alex, she waited.
You're likely to be forgiven for holding a bladed weapon in your defense. I wouldn't be. Just stab it through the door at anyone who tries to come through. Nothing terribly hard about that.
Alex nodded his head and stepped up to the barricade. He figured he could probably get a good stab in from here.
What are you going to do?
He asked, looking back to Carla.
Sleep right here next to you. Need a nap. Adrenaline is wearing off.
Saying nothing more, Carla lay down practically at his feet and almost immediately began snoring. Looking back to the door, Alex had a weird feeling in the pit of his stomach. He wondered if he'd ever really get used to this world.
Probably not.
But then again, where else could I literally indenture people with oaths sworn on gods?
That was different, said an echoing voice from his side.
Alex jumped and swung the sword around, pointing it at the voice. Sitting on the desk they'd moved into the barricade was the Wraith.
Jumpy, it hissed.
A bit. I thought you weren't coming back. You said you weren't, Alex said.
I lied, I guess. I do that, said Leah flippantly. Don't worry, they're out cold. I added a little something to them to make sure of it. I just wanted to stop by for a chat real quick.
Kind of the wrong time for that, isn't it? I mean, it doesn't sound like this is over out there. I swore I heard people shouting and fighting.
You did. It's the King's Guard. Apparently someone got out and spread the word that the Count of Brit had been slain. City is in a bit of an uproar, and everyone is questioning the guard's abilities. Kind of funny. Well, I think it's funny, Leah said. Now the king has a black eye over something he started. And yeah, you were right. They were here to keep you in place till the marriage hunt was over.
Are you supposed to be able to tell me all this? This seems like something gods wouldn't be able to do in these situations.
Normally not, but you did such a good thing. You got me this, Leah said, and then held up her hands.
A blue, wraith-like Eugenia popped into being in the shadow's cupped palms. It was on its knees, looking to be brokenly sobbing.
This is worth at least 4 months of contracts. It's a shame you'll only get half a month out of it, since the crystal was half full. But hey, them's the breaks, Leah said.
Then she clapped her hands together, and the wraith vanished in a splut.
Her soul is quite tasty. I've already used her a bit, just to get an idea of where she sits on the whole morality scale. I plan on giving her to my husband. He never does anything with the captured souls I offer him, but he doesn't turn them down. He knows I do it out of love, she said, her voice taking on a strange tone.
I see. All right. So, I just need to wait it out here? Alex asked, unsure of himself.
I think so. We'll see. I can't imagine them breaking in here before the guard retakes the hall, at least.
So, she's not omniscient.
No, I'm not, Leah said, nodding her head at him.
But you can still read my mind.
I sure can.
Great.
Oh, and because that soul will probably make my husband pay attention to me, I'll probably be gone for a while. But who knows? I personally hope it's a long while. He does tend to get mad at me when I do stuff like this, and punishes me. So I'll be occupied. I owe you a favor for this. You have till tomorrow to decide on what you want.
Got it. I'll think on that, Alex said. Then he shook his head. Wait, how did you get her soul? It looked like she had a heart attack or something, and cracked her head open. Was that you?
Yes. She was in the act of betraying you. I could see her thoughts and the course of action. I just took her soul at the right time. I can't exactly intervene to help you, you know, but I can take my contracts as I please, Leah said. Then her head whipped to one side.
Lovey,
she cried, her voice uncharacteristically ecstatic and bright. It felt like reality itself had split at her single word. Then she vanished, as if she had never been there. Alex hung his head with a sigh and stared at his boots.
This is all so fucked up.
Chapter 13. Eventually, someone came to check the interview rooms. Alex was feeling feisty and paranoid. He didn't trust the people claiming to be the Royal Guard, even if it was them, and refused to remove the barricade. He'd told them directly who he was and that the barricade would only be pulled down if his own personal guard showed up. They'd been resistant so far to his demands. It was a pity for them that Alex simply refused to budge. He imagined the panic and confusion would only get worse outside, that a crowd outside the hall would probably form, and, knowing Rudolph, he would probably raise holy hell for everyone involved. That wasn't even including if Walter showed up. No, Alex could afford to wait. They were safe. They were secure.
"My lord!" Rudolph called from the door, breaking through his thoughts.
"Ah, Rudolph! Thank goodness. Do you have everyone with you?"
Alex called to the door.
"I don't, sir. They forbade it. They're saying that you won't come out until you speak with me,"
Rudolph said, his voice taking on a strange quality.
"I'm not going anywhere with them. If they can't even guard a hall at a well-known ball for a count, I'll not trust them with my life. They can all go back to the king. I'll wait here until they're gone and you've secured the hall."
The silence on the other side of the door was deafening.
"Sir, that is, you would rather your house guard take you to the king?"
"No, I'd rather my house guard take me home.
Oh, I also have Anna Yules and Holly Lynn with me. I imagine their fathers or relatives might be out there trying to find them. It might behoove you to let them know we have them secured."
Again, a pause. He's talking to a guard captain, I bet. Probably just now realizing I'm not kidding around.
"I'll be right back with our guard, sir. The Royal Guard will be leaving now and turning it over to our people. Do I have your permission to invite Master Yules inside?"
of course, said Alex. Then, yes, he is out there and causing a problem. Good. Though it's concerning there is nothing for Holly. Looking back towards Holly, he met her eyes. "Are you alone in the city right now?" he asked directly.
"Only servants. Father will be back tomorrow. He needed a contract updated for my possible marriage to you," Holly said.
"Ah, though I do wonder at that phrasing. Did she attempt to court any others?"
"I apologize if this ruins your chances at any other balls tonight. I do realize I wasn't the only one on the books," Alex said, curious to see if she'd admit to seeing other interviews.
"I wasn't attending any other balls. Father was updating the contract because marriage to a count would require a different wording in the terms. Father wouldn't want the possibility of his titles passing to our children if we had them."
"Oh,
I guess. Yeah, that makes sense. In Anna's case, it doesn't matter. She doesn't have titles.
Nodding his head, Alex settled in to wait. Carla laid her head back down and closed her eyes, while Anna and Holly resumed whatever conversation they'd been having. Master Ewells hadn't accompanied them to his mansion the previous night. To be honest, Alex hadn't thought about it at the time. He'd gone to his room and passed out, leaving Anna and Holly to Walter to take care of. It wasn't until the next morning, when Walter handed him a letter from the master merchant, that he realized Alex had possibly been incredibly rude. He hadn't even checked to see if the man had followed them, not to mention he wasn't quite sure what to say to the man. His daughter was unique, to say the least. Dodged that one, I guess. Setting the letter down, Alex leaned his head back and looked up at the ceiling above him.
"Sounds like Daddy," Anna said, getting his attention.
Snapping his head down, he found her sitting in a chair across from him at the dining table.
"He's willing to make sure I'm all right, but he has other business to take care of," Anna continued, reading the letter between them.
"Just like that?" Alex asked. He wasn't actually complaining. There'd been a few times in his previous life when he'd done exactly the same thing.
Yes, Daddy's just like that. It's a good thing. Did you sleep well? Walter said it wouldn't be right for either of us to sleep near your room until we're lawfully wed, Anna said. Personally, I don't care, because it's only unsigned paper in the way at this point.
Only then did he realize she was in the same dress as the previous day, and that Holly had joined them as well, but was busy with something at a side table. Ah, yes, that'd be inappropriate, Alex agreed. Walter is a stickler for rules, but ones I agree with and very much appreciate in this case. Your father won't be upset that you didn't go home, Anna? Or you, Holly?
Alex hoped to draw the other woman into the conversation. Anna had a tendency to draw him into her own pace and run him over.
Daddy won't mind. I already told him we'd have our marriage contracted today, Anna said happily.
Holly paused and then turned her head to the side, her eyes catching his own.
Father would not be happy, but he also wouldn't be upset since you were the only man I was interviewing with at this time. He would have viewed it as a chance to get to know one another more so, she said.
Had you been interviewing others? Anna asked,
her head turning towards Holly as well.
Originally, though they were all merchants, none were willing to meet with us outside of a formal acceptance of intention. I think most are aware of our financial status.
Holly came over to the table with a silver tea set in her hands, setting down a tea setting for Alex, then Anna, and finally herself. Holly sat down next to the other woman.
I think I've met with every man in the entire capital, Anna said, her mouth turning down in a frown. None of them were very nice, and I didn't feel like any of them would be right for me. Then I met you, Alex.
One could certainly never forget meeting you, Anna. That's to put it mildly, for my own part.
This is lovely, thank you, Anna said, turning her head to Holly after taking a sip.
Thank you, Holly said, smiling shyly at Anna.
I wonder what they were talking about last night. Or hell, even after we got back. They've been together since the whole thing started.
Where's your personal bed servant? Anna said, looking around.
What? Alex asked. Oh, you mean two. I think it's her day off today. I don't keep track of her when she goes out.
So you did give her a permanent day off? That's good. Does she still sleep with you for it? Anna asked, her tone innocent and plain.
Yes, but she gets 2 days off, Alex said, not quite sure what to make of where this conversation was going.
Good. Do you plan on turning the other slaves into bodyguards as well? Anna said,
adding another sugar cube to her tea and giving the liquid a swirl with her spoon. No, they don't.
Alex paused, looking to Holly, who was watching him with no expression. Finally, he looked back to Anna.
Did they talk about it already?
She's not surprised or concerned.
They don't have the right skill sets for it. As bodyguards, that is.
That makes sense. Daddy is always saying you can't use a hammer as your tool every time. Sometimes you need a knife, she said, nodding her head with a smile. I take it they'll be serving in your bed, then? I wonder if we should work out a rotation early on so there's no confusion later. Oh, I already informed Master Walter that your bedroom would be your own, and Holly and I would share one for now. It'd be best that way, so you won't have to worry about taking your slaves to our bed, and worrying we'll be there.
Anna gave him a bright smile and took another polite sip of her tea.
Serving in my bed?
Wait, you what to Walter?
That is, Alex said, wondering how to broach the subject.
Then he stopped.
She said, share a bedroom.
That'd mean they're expecting to both marry me?
I mean, that wouldn't be a terrible idea. Anna would be ideal for finances and, well, as she herself said, an equal partner to a degree.
Holly would be a tool, no matter which way I look at it. There was a sharp knock at the door to the dining room.
Enter, Alex called, looking that way.
Rudolph immediately stepped in, carrying what looked like a handful of dispatches.
My lord, these all arrived with the same courier. I'll wait outside for your replies, Rudolph said.
A second man hurried in and set down an inkwell, letter opener, pot of pounce sand, quill, a small writing tray, and some paper in front of Alex.
Must be the king.
Anna looked at the papers, then turned to Holly with a smile.
I'll go first.
Holly ducked her head to Anna, then took her tea setting with her and left the room without a word.
Should I be concerned? Alex asked after having watched Holly leave.
Picking up the letter opener, he slit open the envelope on top. After pulling the paper out, he read it over quickly.
This is a marriage contract, Alex said, reading over the terms and qualifications.
Yes, it's mine. Just go ahead and sign at the bottom. I already signed it and had it documented at the royal clerk's office, Anna said, leaning forward over the desk.
She was practically spilling out of her dress as she indicated the location to sign and the seal.
Holly's won't be here until later, with her father. You'll need to write up a contract between the two of you before that.
She gave him a wide smile when he looked up to her eyes, instead of her cleavage, where he'd been looking without realizing.
I also got a lot of information out of her we can use against her. She's such a silly thing. Told me everything. We'll have her family wrapped up and bound in no time at all. If you want them, that is, Anna said, still smiling at him. Oh, I won't let you hurt her or give her to anyone else. She'll be your second, and a tool. But I do like her, and will keep her for myself, if nothing else.
Apparently what had happened was Anna had pumped the living hell out of Holly for information, for Alex to use against her. With that easy smile and simple demeanor of Anna's, Holly probably hadn't even worried about it. It means Anna already figured out what I had planned for Holly, even to the point of looking for information to hold against her and bend her into the tool I want her to be, even if it were completely against her morals and desires. She also already figured out the game I'm playing. She could easily be useful to me with almost no need for explanation. For an idiot, she's a genius.
Looking down at the contract, Alex confirmed what it was. The terms were straightforward and easy to read. The entire thing was set up as an equal marriage between a member of the peerage and a commoner. The only big caveat was her dowry was indeed 10,000 gold coins, and Anna's alone. Anna retained very few rights in this agreement other than that, and was putting herself practically in his sole possession. Even less than Holly would ask for. But that means it's just a straightforward marriage, isn't it? He realized Anna was offering him exactly what she'd said at the start. A wife, confidant, and partner. That she'd accept everything he dished out at her, and work to better it for themselves. He picked up the ink bottle, unscrewed the top, took the quill in hand, dipped it in, and signed his name on the line. He then spread a bit of the pounce sand over his signature and set the contract down, only to have Anna practically smash her face into his with a wet and heavy kiss. Pulling back from him, she patted his cheek.
Thank you, husband. I knew we were meant to be from the moment I saw you. Oh, I meant to ask, are you Leah's champion, or are we just working for her?
She asked. Working for her.
Any contract details I need to know?
It was obvious she was in full merchant's daughter mode now. I have to make sure I meet a quota every month. Otherwise, that's it.
That's easy enough. What's the quota?
Alex paused at that. The crystal was in his room, and he didn't want to go fetch it. I have to make deals that favor us. The greater the deal, the better favoring. The quicker the quota is met. I have a crystal that will turn completely black when it's met for the month.
And is the quota met right now?
Yes, we're clear for the month.
Good, good. Then let's hold off on finalizing Holly's contract, but sign the marriage agreement. Or, at the least, date the contract so it goes into effect next month if you can't wait. That way we can bank on that one rather than waste resources. Right?
Anna asked, her fingers interlaced with each other. Would that work? A dated contract would go into effect under a god's oath on the date listed, and be upheld from that point. That's a good point, wife, Alex said, actually feeling rather lucky to have signed Anna into his life. Smiling, he leaned toward her. She gave him a happy and bright smile, leaning forward as well. Now, how about you tell me all about Holly and what we can use against her, he said, then kissed her in earnest. Alex knelt down and bowed his head in supplication. Rise, Count Britt. We were worried when we heard of the affairs that took place in our city, the king said. Standing up, Alex didn't respond immediately. He didn't plan on revealing anything at all to the king. Not a damn thing if he could help it. In his book, Alex was fairly certain the king had orchestrated the whole thing, that the bandits were more than likely royal guard dressed up, or brigands pressed into service. If a count was taken for ransom, it would be a serious breach of the king's security. But if an unharmed count was found and saved by the royal guard who'd lost him, no problem. All would be well. Instead, the king was now left with a security incident, an entire city talking about a count that died, but didn't, and his entire plan scrapped. You have better things to do, don't you? Like running a kingdom? We're well pleased that not only have you come out the other side of this trying ordeal for the better of it, but with a wife to match. From what we've been told by our clerk, you've taken Master Yule's daughter, Anna, to wife, and a baron's daughter, Holly Lynn, as well, to wed. That is correct, Your Majesty. I enjoyed speaking with both of them immeasurably. I found that since you ordered me to wed, I would not only perform my duty, but to the greatest extent possible. And in marrying a commoner and a noble, your requirements are met on both sides, no matter which way you could have argued. Are we done with this charade yet? Can I go home? I do have projects to work on. Yes, we're well pleased with this. We'd ask you to remain and possibly hold your wedding ceremony here, but we understand you've already requested to go home. Yes, Your Highness. I fear that without me, my county could at any time be at the whims of fate, and while I admit that seems melodramatic, it is my sincere worry that I could possibly fail His Highness in my duty as his retainer by not being there, Alex said, bowing his head to the king and remaining bowed. I've given you all possible respect while offering no offense,
giving you no reason to pursue this. Just let me go back home and you can worry about your dukes. They're your problems, not me.
Alex had noted the empty throne next to the king. Once again, the queen refused to be part and parcel to anything. Or the queen herself, maybe, is your problem. The silence drew on for a while. He'd cornered the king fairly well with his respect and giving face to him, so there wasn't much His Majesty could do without looking as if he had indeed been plotting on the side.
"We release you, then, Count Britt, back to your county. We regret we won't be able to see your marriage ceremony, but do wish you the best with it, and hope that you enjoy your new married life."
"I'm sure we will, Your Highness," Alex said, not raising his head, but falling to a knee instead. After a few seconds of respectful prostration, Alex stood and left the throne room. Not wanting to waste any further time here, his plan was to leave as quickly as possible, so much so that everyone was already packed and waiting at the mansion. It would only take a few minutes to pass the word along to the house staff to shutter most of the manse up, and they'd be gone. No sooner than he exited the palace had Carla taken her place at his side. Ever since the incident, he'd noticed Rudolph and his people had started treating Carla like one of their own, if not more so. She gave him a look with a quirked brow.
"Home again, jiggity jig," Alex said with a smirk.
Carla snorted at that. "You owe me a day off. Today doesn't count."
"Sure it does.
No, Master. Mistress Anna already ruled in my favor on this matter," Carla said with a sour grin. "Though she did tell me that if I came to her in the future without consulting you first, she'd make sure you used me improperly, and that I wouldn't be cleaned up."
"Ha. Good. That's good. She'll end up costing me a bit because she'll argue for fairness, but she won't let anyone get a better deal on us or be subversive." With every interaction, he was feeling better about Anna.
Chapter 14. Alex took in a deep breath, then let it out in a whoosh. He knew it seemed silly since he hadn't called this place home long, but he genuinely felt better to be back in Britt. The courtyard of his keep in Britt, to be exact. They'd made great time and had arrived just after sunrise, where the only power higher than himself was miles away, and only wanted their share of his pie. A CEO who wants me to kick him his bone, and a bunch of peers doing the same thing. I can do this all day. Carla stood beside him, her head swiveling around as she took in the sight. "Not bad," she said, her eyes moving along the walls. "I think I might actually get a chance to rest here."
Definitely a lot less of a security concern here," Alex couldn't help but agree.
Rudolph and another man set a large wooden locked trunk down beside him.
"Sir, I'll check in with Max and return to my duties," Rudolph said, bowing his head to Alex.
"Good work, Rudolph," Alex said to the man. "I'll be sure to express my admiration to Max." Rudolph and the other man left, Carla nodding at them as they did.
"I take it they trust you now?"
Alex sat down on the trunk and gave it a pat next to him.
"Yeah, I think at first they just thought I was warming your bed and little else. Now it's..."
Carla paused, a frown slowly developing.
"Now it's like they see me as a guard."
After a second more, she sighed and sat down next to him on the trunk.
"What are your plans for the day? I'll settle in otherwise and take my day off tomorrow."
"Ah, I'll be visiting my dungeon, checking in on my projects," Alex said. He paused to watch Anna and Holly wander from one end of the courtyard to the other.
"Walter will inevitably track me down later on for a session of the month's justice. I'm sure there's a backlog."
Carla grunted and then scratched at her stomach with one hand.
"I'll get my room arranged then. Make myself at home, I suppose.
unless you have an order for me. No, I'm sure everything will work itself out. As far as sleep